All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about slip bobbers. And people are like, bobber fishing? Oh, they're highly productive. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between bobbers and slip bobbers.
Yeah, these aren't the red and white, you know.
Plastic. It's funny you say that because I had a buddy of mine who just got his first boat. Uh-huh. And he went out last week and he's like all excited. He got a little 12-footer with just a trolling motor on it. But he had to go out, right? And I asked him, hey, what gear do you got? And he goes, well, I'm going bobber fishing. So I said, do you got the clip ones or do you got slip bobbers? He's like,
What do they look like? Are they round, dude?
Are they penciled? He goes, they're round. And I go, do they have a little wire clip? He goes, yep. I go, you're bobber fishing.
Yep.
So slip bobbers are a way to be very proficient. Mitch will probably talk about neutral buoyancy. I'm sure he'll talk about that later on down the line.
That's my thing.
He's always talking about when we're slip bobbering, hey, they got to be neutrally buoyant. So I know that's probably coming up. But what it allows you to do is fish anywhere from 2 feet or 30, 40, whatever. When we were up in Mille Lacs, we were fishing 25 feet. How do you cast a bobber with 25 feet of line out?
Right.
You can't unless you do a slip bobber.
Right.
Right. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The setup. Go ahead and tell me how you guys are setting them up, what we're going to use for a slip bobber.
Real quick, Josh, explain to everybody what a slip bobber is and how it even works. How does it slide on the line?
So a slip bobber is, and when you guys go to pick these out, it's important, and I think we all agree, we all kind of like the ones with that, like you said, neutrally buoyant kind of thing, but it's got the sticks that extend out from the actual bobber portion.
Yeah, like a couple inches.
Yeah, and it's hollow, and what that does is that allows your line to pass through it. You have some sort of bobber stop above it. So how it works is you put the bobber stop on first, and whatever you use, the rubber ones. I like the tie ones. You guys like the rubber ones.
Mm-hmm.
You put the bobber stop on first. You put the bobber. Then you put a bead to keep that knot protected and at the bottom by the swivel. And then I do a swivel. Do you guys do a swivel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the time.
So we do a swivel.
Small swivel,
but big enough to where it doesn't pass through the bobber.
Oh, sure, sure.
And not a snap swivel. We're talking a barrel swivel, you know, as small as you can do, just so there's not a lot of hardware hanging down there. But that's what stops the bobber. And I use
when you're reeling it in the swivel.
Well, I mean that's what keeps it from sliding all the way down to your bait.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put the bobber with no swivel all the way down to your bait, and it will still pull through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have that little bit of a gap, and you don't want it to twist down there and cause a mess. But that's how it works, and so we'll talk about setups.
So once you get to the swivel, then you are putting another.
Now you're doing your setup right now. Now this is where the money part comes in. I use probably no more than 16 inches max, maybe even that's a touch long, maybe a 12, 14 inches. And I like to go lighter line than my main line.
Sure.
And I know you guys like to use mono. I like to use fire line for my
main line. We'll talk about the differences.
And we'll talk about why we like those. And I use lighter. I use usually 8 or 10 pound test for my main line. And then I'll use 6 pound test mono. Just straight mono. I use that Berkley Sensation. I really like that. And that is so if I get hung up, I can pop off either a plain hook, which is not expensive, or I like to use real small 1/32 ounce jig heads. And I can just pop those off. I don't lose my whole rig. I just retie it, and it's not a big loss.
Yeah, and if you started off with 15 inches and you broke off and now it's 9 or 10 inches.
You just redo it and keep going. Yeah.
Not big deal.
Yeah, keep going. So, and then so I like to use the small jig head to keep it. And to me, the goal is to keep it all in a line below the bobber. I don't want it to get, kind of pulled up by wind and waves or current or anything. So I like to keep it. So I use those, and I don't even know what you would call them. They're kind of like egg sinkers, but they have the rubber core.
Right.
And you need to twist them. I use those, not very heavy, that, and I put that in between, almost exactly halfway between the jig head and the swivel, and that kind of keeps everything in line. And it also helps give you a little bit of weight to cast.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I got to tell you, I've been really successful using that setup.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's a quick thing. The whole money part is the bobber stop.
Yep.
So basically picture this. You've got the weight holding the bobber down or your line down, and when it's in the water, the bobber is going to float. So it's going to ride up your line until it can anymore because of that bobber stop. That's why they named it that.
And that's why it's the first thing you put on.
Yeah, so if you put your bobber stop, you know, 4 feet up from your hook, that's how deep it's going to hang in the water. So, and if you say you want 6 feet, you slide it 2 feet up more, and now you're 6 feet.
But you can reel that all the way in.
Yes, you can reel it all the way bobbers, in and bring your stuff all the way up to your rod tip so you can cast.
That's right.
So you want it shallower, you slide it down, and then it's going to not allow it. Well, that's the slick part, because say you don't know how deep the structure is you're casting to. So maybe it's that saddle like we were fishing last weekend.
Right.
I mean, you don't know exactly how deep it is because you haven't gone over it.
Right.
Well, the way it works is you can make that estimate, cast it out there, let your line drop all the way through the bobber until it hits the bobber stop, and if the bobber stands straight up, you know that your bait is off the bottom.
Off the bottom.
Yep. If it lays on its side, then your bait's on the bottom, but there's slack in the line between the bait and your bobber, and that's why it lays on the side. So you know you have to make an adjustment where you slide the knot down to get it to raise up off the bottom. Yep. So it is real easy to dial in your depth, even if you don't know how deep it is, just by how your bobbers are acting.
Sure.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit bobber stops. Now, there's two different kinds out there that I know of. The rubber ones that you talked about that we use, black or red, it's for a different diameter. One's 8 pound, one's 6 pound. They both will work all right because we use 8 pound for 8 pound mono for our bobber. Our general line is 8 pound Berkeley XL. It's an extra limp. It casts good castability. And we'll get into yours. You use a fire line. So we put either the black or the red one on first, and they're these little wire. they come in a pack of like 10, 12, 15. Yep. I don't even know how many are in it. But so you slide your main line through it. You pull the bobber stop off of it. You slide it right onto your line.
Tell them how to pull the bobber stop off, because no one ever showed me that. And I know I'm going to sound like a total goof. I had no idea. And I thought, well, how do you thread this on there?
It's a looped wire system. There's gonna, when it comes in a pack, there's gonna be 10, 12, 15, depends on what size of pack you get. And there'll be little red and black beads on it, but they're little rubber beads. And they are a wire circle. They're kind of oblong. So where that circle is, that's what you feed your line through.
Right.
Put it through like 2 or 3 feet, and then you just grab a hold of the rubber bobber. And you start pulling it. It comes off of that wire. Now it goes right onto your line until it comes all the way through.
All the way through, yeah. So your line's folded in half
as
it slides through until you hit the end of your tag line.
Yep.
And then, boom, it's on there. There's no threading it on. It's the only way
And they're not reusable. They're a one-use deal. So, you know, if you were to use that rod and switch it to a different presentation, your bobber stops smoked. I use the tie ones that look like yarn. And they're wrapped around a hollow tube, looks like a straw.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, right? You put your line through the straw, and then you pull the thread off of the straw, and you pull the ends tight, and that is your bobber stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more a little thinner diameter than the rubber ones, and I think it reels up better. But
hey, I'll tell you that your bobber stop that I fished with your bobber setup this weekend, man, it was the tightest bobber stop knot I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, you did a good job putting it on.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they don't cinch them down enough.
Yeah.
And the only time that those are good, and that I like them, because you have to trim them too, because then you'll have a couple big long tag ends that you have to trim down to where it's like an eighth of an inch from the end of when you've tightened it down so it doesn't get all hung up and everything. But yes, it does work good on Fireline because Fireline is a little bit slippier. So it's hard. Those rubber ones don't work real good on Fireline. They will move up and down throughout the day when you're casting them. If you tighten them down tight enough, the rope or string ones.
They're almost like dental floss or something.
Yeah, they don't move as well. Little harder to, when you slide it through that tube that you were talking about, a little harder to get them off and off that tube and onto your line. But it's preference. It's what you like to do. Yeah, but if you're going to be fishing a fire line, I would suggest going with the string type. And if you're going to be fishing mono, the rubber ones work great.
Yeah, that's a friction.
Yeah, because it just holds it on. So the key to me though is the one of the keys is the bobber itself. You can get the big bell bobbers, which are fine if that's what they have, and they also have the pencil ones that are just very very skinny.
Yeah,
right. More for panfish fishing is kind of what they're designed for, but you can use them for walleye, no problem. But the key is whatever one you want to do, and this is going to segue into Mitch, is when you end up putting
here
it your
comes.
Here it goes.
When you put your weighted system below it. Now you use a little bit different than us. You use the sinker that has a slit in it with the little black rubber things that you can twist to hold it on.
Yep.
Now we've always just used split shots.
Yep.
That's just what we use. Mm-hmm. I would use yours, no problem. We just split shots on because I'll put a big split shot on, and then we test it off the side of the boat, and then I fine adjust it just above it. I put little guys on there just to make it
neutrally buoyant.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, as close to neutrally buoyant as you can. Right. You know, and I'll tell you what, you get your setup, and you're all good, and say you throw on a leech or a fathead, nice big fathead minnow. And all of a sudden, boom, your bobber's gone. It's like, dang.
That's too heavy.
I got too much weight on it with the bait. You know, a lot of times you check it over the side of the boat, and it's like, you throw a minnow on, now it's too much. So you got to be careful with that. But you can dial it in. And the whole point of that is to hopefully have the fish take it without feeling any resistance.
It just slides underneath the water.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It just goes down. Now, you'll see that bobber just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll move it, and all of a sudden it just takes off like it's a submarine. It goes under the water, mm-hmm. right? But before you get to that, what to do once you see that bobber going down, what are the kinds of baits that you like to use? Now, me and Mitch predominantly will use just like a number two or even a four, mm-hmm. a wide gap hook. We mm-hmm. don't use the jigs. The jig is nice because it keeps it very, very straight underwater.
Gives you a little color.
But it gives you a little color. But the hook gap is small. So you're kind of giving up a hook gap. So mm-hmm. we end up going predominantly with a wide gap type hook mm-hmm. just to have a little more surface for that fish to get hooked up. Either one are fine. It's what you're comfortable with.
Well, and that's the thing. Your small jig head that you had tied on there, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, it worked. And Junior didn't hardly miss any fish. I missed a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at this jig, and it's like, Jesus, this thing's little. You know, are we're perch fishing here?
Right.
What's the deal? And I tell you, if I was up at Glendo going after those bigger fish, I would get to a regular hook or even a bigger jig.
Yeah.
But just to get more hook out there.
Right. Well, and like you said, I guess the key is you can use a 16th ounce or something like that, but the key is you have you don't want to go too much weight. And so and to me the hook kind of has a rough time I think staying. I don't mind it, but if you're using a big minnow or something like that, they kind of swim with it. And you know, I like using crawlers. I know and most of the time I prefer leeches,
mm-hmm.
Just because of the way they swim and you know they're down there moving. But we do pretty well on crawlers. I mean, this weekend it was, if we were sitting there longer than, I don't know, for a while there, if it was longer than 20 seconds, that there was something wrong. Like I was reeling it up, check the bait.
Well, okay, so here's the scenario we were fishing this weekend that we're talking about. I thought this was pretty interesting. It's typically this time of the year at this lake, we're vertical jigging.
Yep.
Or casting, or pulling death and bouncers and stuff. So the live bait bite is definitely going now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish were acting a little different, so we were kind of bouncing around hitting spots. And a lot of times I was vertical jigging. Brad had a twister on and he was casting.
Right.
And Josh had his slip bobber set up and excuse me, and casting. Well, I tell you what, so we know there's fish underneath there. Mm-hmm. We know they're feeding. Mm-hmm. We know it's live bait time. Other times we have just one fish after another with mm-hmm. the jigs, vertical jigging or casting. And I'll be darned.
He was 3-1.
3-1 easy at every spot we went to. And it was like, okay, I'm not sure why the fish are preferring it this way, but it was obvious. They were.
Yeah, and it didn't matter where we go. It didn't matter if we were fishing tops of brush or if we were fishing rocks or
a break.
Just a break. I mean, we were just
that. Or even up on top of that flat. They were just there. Yeah. They were wanting a slip bobber, that subtle presentation where they decide when to, not something they have to chase.
Yep. It was crazy. The little part that it was just Brad and I for a while off this one point. I mean, there were the point holds fish either, you know, I mean, it's got all different aspects to it. It's deep on one side, shallow on the other, kind of gets mucked up in a mud line, you know, so there's a bunch of different reasons it holds fish, but it wasn't holding the kind of fish that I think we thought it would. And so I think it was one of those deals where, you know, we were on that point, and it's like that bobber was kind of floating across, and it would just hit the right spot, and wham! I mean, and it was under, and you know, you would think in a spot like that, it would be, it looked like smallmouth kind of area, and we were getting eyes every time.
Oh yeah. They wanted the slip bobber for
yep.
sure.
Yep. And we both were casting grubs tipped with crawlers. And every once in a while we'd get one, but the slip bobber was definitely
3 or 4 to 1.
Yep. yep. More productive yep. by far.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And probably even more than that because you were still casting.
Yeah.
There's three of us casting, and it was out fishing three people casting.
Yeah.
3 or 4. What, to
yeah.
One.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
one slip bobber. So it's probably 10 to 1.
Yeah. Really? I was going to say 9 to 1.
Yeah, yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and Junior kept saying, hey, do you want a slip bobber yet? Do you want a slip bobber? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, it was fun to watch yours, but I enjoyed casting. It was three people in a boat fishing an area.
Yeah.
It's not bad having the slip bobbers out, but
yeah,
we got plenty.
Well, oh, yeah. I tell you, I think a lot of people overlook slip bobbers, or they're not like, no, we're not going to just sit there and watch bobbers. But I'm telling you, you know, because it feels like you're being way more productive when you're casting and moving and everything. But I saw it. I mean, if we were going to hunker down it and put fish in the boat, we would have all had slip bobber rigs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In a heartbeat.
Well, there's plenty of times that we've been out tournament fishing or where we're just out regular fishing that when me and Mitch are out there that we will throw slip bobbers one way off the bow, one way off the back, and then just fish the middle with our cranks or our jigs or whatever where we're casting because it's fun to work an area.
Yeah.
But the whole time, if your lake allows you to fish two rods,
right,
let it fish.
Yeah.
It's not going to catch a damn thing sitting in the bottom of your boat.
Right.
You know what I mean? So why not let it fish?
Well, in the idea that you have to sit there to slip bobber, like anchor or spot lock or something, we worked huge areas.
Yeah.
You know, it's just keeping up with the slip bobber, you know, keeping it ahead, and then we'd move up. Mm-hmm. But hell, it was going down so fast most of the time that we didn't even get up to it. You know,
it's always better to cast it up in front if you're going to be moving. If you're sitting there, we spot lock some, so then you could fish off the front and the back.
And
but if you're going to be moving, if you're going to be moving at all, cast out in front of you. You'll catch up with it sooner or later, and then just reel it up, cast it again.
Yep.
I trust me, cast with one eye and keep the other one on the bobber. Because how many times have you looked back to your bobber? You're like, hey, where's Bob?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a while there, that one. I mean, that's what it was, right? That was the routine. I'd throw out the bobber. I'd bend down to pick up my jigging rod,
and I'd be
up
like,
my
Bob,
you'd be Bob. I just drop my jigging rod again, pick it up, set the hook. But I think that's also another key, and you hit on it in a minute. When I handed you the bobber rod. The first couple you ripped into it. You were going for the big set, the hook set.
My hook size. Yeah.
And I think the key is when you use those smaller hooks, I was the opposite. I reel down till I feel the resistance, and then it's not even really a hook set. It's just kind of sweep it up. You almost just raise it up, and it's there.
Yeah.
But none of them, I know you guys might be thinking, well, they'll swallow it. None of ours were swallowed. They were all up in that upper part of the mouth, and you know, you're popping. Yeah, I mean, you had to get the pliers, pop them off because they're right in the roof of the mouth. So.
I can't help it. You know, when I was a kid, that's how I started fishing. We probably all did, right? Mm-hmm. Staring at that red and white bobber.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And it'd sit there and bounce and wiggle, and then boop, down it goes. And I know a bullhead's taking it, right? Well, that's part of the fun of banging them.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah, ripping some lips.
Well, I tell you what, when you're fishing with this plain hook and a wider hook, too, because it's probably lighter, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You drive her home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. We reel down to where. So that's kind of the secret. When you see that bobber go down, you're going to have a bunch of slack in your line. You want slack laying on the water. You don't want that taunt. So you reel down to where it just starts to load up and then pile her home.
Yep.
Now, with fishing with a jig head, Josh was doing a light sweep, a little bit of a pop, but a sweep. When we're fishing with just the regular hooks, we do drive it home a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I know is I missed two and then lightened up, and I didn't miss another one.
Yeah,
it was just kind of getting used to that different
way of doing it. And they sell, I call them like floss bodies or something, but you can get those small, and it may even be like an ice fishing type thing, but you can get those small jig heads.
The micro jigs?
Well, no, not micro jigs. They're not that small. But the small 1/32 ounce, 16 ounce jig heads, and they've got the colored, you know, like the streamer almost type, like the silver coming off, or
almost for trout, something you have.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, I'll tell you what, those can be super good too.
You know what I wish they had, and they might have it. I haven't researched it enough because I just haven't. But I wish that they had like a 32nd ounce jig wide gap log shank.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
If any of our listeners know that, send us some, send us how, where to go get them. I want to try them.
Yeah.
Because that would be primo.
Yeah.
Primo for this.
Well, and now the Northland, I've used the Northland 16th ounce wide gap gumball type hook.
But you're using a 32nd, weren't you?
Well, I was there, but I mean, I have them. Like, I have a box of them.
I know they make them in a 16th, but I was just curious.
I don't know if they do 32.
I don't know. But someone emails.
Well, when you have a bigger, if you want to use a little bit bigger one, because, you know, 16th ounce isn't super big.
No.
And those Northland ones were good because they're just bait holders. You know, I mean, they're that wide gap, short, stubby hook. And I've done well on those two.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more color. But those 32nd, man, I just get the four basic colors, the orange, the chartreuse, the white, and the black.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their thing, man.
Yeah.
They really do. And you know, and that's the thing is, it is such a productive way to fish. It's not a kid way. It's not, you know, I'm taking my dad. I'm going to let him fish bobbers off the back. It's
productive way.
I mean, it is just, and really, you put them out there, you let them roll for a few. If you're not getting it, reel it up and reposition them. I mean, don't sit there and think this is something where you have to sit there and watch, you know, it bob for hours.
Well, we've done a podcast, and we're going to wrap this up in a second, but we've done a podcast too, and go back and check it out, called Dead Stick. So Dead Stick is, a lot of times will outfish your active stick. So go back and listen to that one. But a bobber is nothing more.
Nothing's outfishing my active stick.
But nothing, a bobber is nothing different than a dead stick out there. It's working while it's working another part of the body of water while you're actively casting jigs, cranks, whatever you're doing.
Whatever.
You can't do it when you're trolling. But if you're going to work a shoreline, you're going to work a structure, there's no reason not to throw out a bobber.
Yep.
Hey, and you guys just getting going, you know, up in the Midwest and stuff. If all of a sudden the jig bite is tougher than it normally is each year, try a slip bobber, just see, because that really surprised me.
And it doesn't have to be minnows, you guys. It doesn't have to be an active bait down there going. It's like those, we were talking
scent
about that. Yeah, the walleye comes up, and I think they even bump them with their nose sometimes when you see that bobber do a little flutter. Man, we were just using half a crawler and just hammering them. So, you know, I know a lot of guys like minnows. They think they have to have minnows. I don't think you do. I think you can.
No, that's definitely one of the three key baits, minnow, leeches, and crawler.
Sure.
But you can do a crawlers all day long.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, we hope you gained something out of slip bobbers. I think we should try to do a YouTube video and show or at least a photo.
I've got the perfect setup to do it.
Okay, yeah. So we'll send something out. YouTube.
Maybe at the next tournament. With the CWT tournament.
Yeah. We have another one here in a few weeks. We'll put something out, though. So for guys that are like, how did they say to do it again? We'll have something visual for you to look at here in the next few weeks, too, so you can see exactly what we're talking about. But in the meantime, if you're going to go out and try it and you want to up your game and you have some questions on it, send us an email. We will answer it. AllEyesOnFishing@gmail.com. We get to it, and we will help you out to try to get you on that bite.
Yep.
Also, check us out, our gear. Check out our stuff at AllEyesOnFishing.com because we have a lot of gear.
Sweatshirts, yep, good stuff.
All that stuff. So, hey, and share us, follow us, do whatever. Make sure you let your friends know because we're really – this has came a long ways, right?
Yeah.
And we really appreciate it from listeners and people sharing it with others. Yep. And it's just continuing to grow. So, from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at AllEyesOnFishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.